Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Efforting DJ Bianime. He had a phone problem. He has two phones.
Yes, he does.
How does a guy who has two phones have a phone problem? If one doesn't work, use the other. It's in rocket science.
Unless they're both on the same carrier, and then one problem could be both problems.
What do you think he has those two phones for?
One work and one private.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you're in the media, it's the same thing with your social media accounts, your emails, and otherwise. And if you do work business through your personal email, they can kind of like take control of it.
Yeah, I think that one, he probably got one from ESPN. Mm-hmm. He probably already had another one. So he probably uses the two very, very differently. But I can't get past the fact that a guy has two phones is having phone issues. We're going to have to ask him about the carrier thing.
We'll have to.
Because that's an issue.
Peel it back.
So lots of new stuff coming out with the Texans offensive coordinator search. We'll get to DJ in a moment, unless he just ghosts us, which is very likely. But Aaron Wilson did a YouTube at like 3 a.m. in the morning. He reported some stuff about the latest. First off, it seems like Chip Kelly's going to stay at Ohio State. So, seems like we can cross that name off the list.
A little disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, now more intriguing, like, where do we go from here?
All right, DJ is on now. DJ, you have two phones and one of them doesn't work? What's the deal?
I called Brian's number. It's usually the number I call, so I don't know what happened, but...
So you're blaming Brian.
I'm here now. Here.
You're blaming Brian.
Yeah, I'm absolutely blaming Brian.
Fair enough.
This is the first time you've ever called me, DJ.
Accountability is not a sexy trait. You know what I'm saying? It's much more fun when you blame somebody else.
I agree. And usually Brian's our whooping boy, too, so we're all good there. What's the latest? Where do the Texans stand on the offensive coordinator search?
Yeah, so I think Gerard and Nick Taylor. Those are like the two main guys. I think those are like the top two candidates in that aspect. I'm intrigued by Brian Johnson, though, man, because I'm really big on, I do want an OC that's called plays before that it's obviously failed before, but how much of that was Nick Sirianni just doing too much and kind of undermining him? But again, like, for me, a guy like Brian Johnson has been in a situation where you got to win and you got to win fast. And you got to make sure that you get the best out of your quarterback. Obviously, they didn't get that one year with the Eagles. But they were still a top 10 offense. They just fell off a cliff down the stretch for various reasons. You know what I'm saying? So, obviously, that offense would look a lot different than the offense he had in Philly. It would look much different in Houston, mainly because your quarterback in Houston isn't the dual threat that Jalen Hurts is. So obviously things look a little bit different, but I'm really big on it. If they can get a guy with like that's actually called plays before, because for me it's more about like, can you problem solve fast? Most of these guys can draw up stuff that look fancy and can put up some points here and there. It's like, what can you do once teams take away what you actually want to do? And that was obviously one of the problems that Bobby had was, he just couldn't count it. I had one source tell me that we had all year to make adjustments and it never happened. You know, so it's pretty simple as that. You know, Bobby was very much, that's why I was always weary when he was. That is, at a certain point, you say you got to execute that falls back on the players, but at a certain point, you also got to put your players in position to execute. So I think he just struggled at finding the answer once.
DJ, make me feel better about Jerod from the standpoint of we know what we know about all the things that went wrong with first-time play caller, first-time offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, and then some of the things you were just mentioning, and now he's one of the two names you say are maybe the two best candidates right now for the Texans. And that's worrisome to me because am I wrong for thinking that there might be the same expectation that there's going to be bumps in the road and there's going to be slip-ups and there's going to be the same kind of things, even if – and hopefully he learned some of what Bobby did not to do it again.
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. I think from Bobby, from the Eagles' perspective, he was one of the guys that had no experience calling plays. In his first year, he crushed it with the Niners. So, just as much question and concerns there could be, sometimes, those guys do pop. You know what I mean? For me, if it went with, one of those two guys, Jerod Johnson and Nick Haley, I just wouldn't have high expectations or low expectations. I wouldn't be overly optimistic. I wouldn't be overly pessimistic. I'd just be kind of right down the middle, mainly because when it comes to these coaching hires, we truly don't know until the product is out on the field because you don't really have much to kind of lean on. And things change so much from year to year.
DJ Bianime joining us on the HRNP guest line. Follow him on Twitter. DJ Bianime covers the Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. Do you think the Texans had a pretty good idea of who they wanted to hire before they fired Slowick? Because I feel like if you didn't, that's a pretty risky thing to do.
I feel like they had options in mind, but at the end of the day, you still got to go and, interview and go through the process.
Sure.
Obviously, they for sure have, because you can't, it's kind of like when a team moves off of a quarterback, if they're going to move off a quarterback, it's always like a quarterback in mind. They'll just move off a quarterback. Like, for example, when the Jets moved off of Sam Darnold, Joe Douglas was watching film on Zach Wilson during that season at the end, the Giants right now, right? They knew they were moving off Shadur. They're moving off of Daniel Jones. They've been studying a lot of film on Shadur Sanders out of Colorado. So I think it's the same thing. At a position like that, that's that important. It's similar to when you fire a head coach, you have people in mind of who you're going to go look. I remember when the Texans fired Lovey, they had an idea of guys that they wanted to go after. Obviously, they couldn't reach out to them because that would be tampering. But they knew, prior to firing Lovey, because, they had an idea, if they do fire Lovey, what's next? They did have a set of guys, obviously, the Eagles in that, a set of guys that they were looking at. You know what I'm saying?
DJ, answer two-part question, but Jeremy and I were wondering about this the other day, and I'm just curious. Chip Kelly was never interviewed anyway. Does the team have to interview the guy that they eventually hire, for one? And then for two, are there names that we're sleeping on, missing, or maybe almost to the point of why haven't they interviewed a guy like Mike LaFleur, simply because it seems like he's worked with DeMeco, he's been in both systems, the kind of the McVay system and the Shanahan system, and it seems like people think pretty highly of him until he got Zach Wilson?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say to your first question with Chip, yeah, you do got to interview the guy. You just can't hire him without, he's going through some type of a process. And then to the second part, I think, they've casted someone of a wide net. It's very clear they're going to go with guys. It's very clear they're but there's a good chance they'll go with a guy that hasn't called plays for an NFL. And obviously there's risk to that, but again, from the Nico's perspective, a lot of guys, Bobby didn't call plays before, and obviously he had success year one, mid in year two, but he kind of hit the ground running. So I think that it's more for me, it's all of them coming out to whoever they hire, can they problem solve? Everything else is fine and dandy. It's all about, can you problem solve once you have an idea what you want to do? And we won't know that until week eight.
Jeremy Fowler came out today and said that Doug Peterson has taken calls from multiple teams inquiring about would he be interested in being an offensive coordinator for the upcoming season. Do you think the Texans were one of them?
I don't think so, but Doug doesn't want to be OC. From people I've talked to across the league, he wants to be a head coach still. Huh. Or at least in that vein, you know. I think he's fine kind of sitting a year out and then circling back. Because I think that, you know, if he wanted to be an OC, like, he would have took on those interviews and took on those calls. So I think, based on who I talked to around the league, Doug Peterson's for sure not trying to be OC.
DJ, we appreciate the time. I know that you're going to have this information hopefully soon. When do you think it happens? Early next week? I thought it might happen close to business today, but it seems like that's not going to happen.
Yeah, hopefully next week. So then, like, well, I have a story coming out on Bobby and why it kind of went wrong. So hopefully before that. But if it's after, I mean, hopefully it's after the story comes out.
Yeah.
When does the story come out?
If it's, yeah. Hopefully the news comes out after my story drops.
Yeah, when does your story drop?
Tuesday. But if it drops, if it comes out on Monday, like, all I gotta do is add that this is who they hired. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I have to end the story or whatever. But, yeah, so Tuesday. Tuesday is like the aim date, but I have to get back to edits. So,
good deal. Look forward to reading that. Yeah. That'll be a good read. We'll keep an eye on that at ESPN, ESPN.com. Just follow him on Twitter, too, at DJ Bieniemy. He'll post it up there as well. DJ, appreciate the information. Have a great weekend.
No problem. Thank you.
DJ Bieniemy joining us on the HR&P guest line. Let's have that conversation about the OCs, because a lot of new stuff coming out. A new candidate that's going to be interviewed came out yesterday as well. Grant Yudinski, I think that's how it's pronounced. Nick Caley news, offensive line coach news. So a lot's to get to when it comes to this OC post. Where do you stand with all the new information? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Beast, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment on Pro Dunk Hoops. This is the season. I love this time of year because basketball is rolling, whether it's the pro game, whether it's the college game, high school game, AAU, middle school basketball. That happens out there as well. And if you're going to get a goal for your house, it needs to be Pro Dunk. They make the best basketball goals you'll find. Don't waste your time going to the big box stores and searching their goals. You're not going to like them. And if you do buy one, it's not going to be any good. You're going to be in the market for a new one very, very soon. You drive through your neighborhoods. You walk through your neighborhoods. You see all these basketball goals that are messed up. The rim's broken. It's not level. Backboard's jacked up. Sometimes they're flat on their belly because a little bit of a wind gust knocks them down. If you're going to get a basketball goal, do it right and get a goal from Pro Dunk. They have a tempered glass backboard. Gives you that true, authentic feel off the glass. Stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston. Breakaway rim. Why do you need that? Because it's height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. You can lower it down, throw down some jams if you want to. Their new goal, 4, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Easy to do, lightning adjust feature, 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Easy to do, fun to do, you're going to love doing it. Their accessories are next level as well. LED light kits for night play, backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots more. You can order all of this, including professional installation online. The pros at Pro Dunk professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do that work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822. Visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We are the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Jets made their offensive coordinator hire official, Tanner Engstrand. Never heard of the dude.
Me either.
You ever heard of him?
Nope.
Never heard of him. I went to Jake's Twitter to see what he thought of him, but I'm not going to watch a video. I'm not going to press play. I was hoping he would have had a tweet about it, but he doesn't.
And that at least means that Gerard is not getting other offers.
I think there's more significant for another candidate for the Texans with this post.
Okay.
I think it's Nick Caley.
Yeah, because they were interested in him as well. Yeah, right?
Nick Caley, according to reports, Connor Hughes said the Jets made a run at adding Nick Caley as offensive coordinator, their top option. He, Caley, let it be known he did not have interest in the job. The expectation is that Tanner Engstrand will be named per sources. So it seems like either Caley's doing one of two things. Either A, he feels very confident he's getting the Houston Texans job, or B, he's holding out until he gets to a post, into a position that he really, really, really likes, which it can be option B. He did that last year. He could have been the OC for the Patriots for nearly $3 million, and he was like, no, I'm good. So it could very well be B. It could very well be B. But it could also be A, where he feels confident he's getting the Houston Texans job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was just curious because of the fact. I mean, look, I think that when you look at the different jobs, that's why when I asked DJ and I jotted it down for the rundown, I just, to me, the intriguing thing is there are guys out there that I think, for the most part, think that most guys that are up for the job think that the Texans job might be the best job out there on the market right now for OCs. Like, why wouldn't it be with the guys that, with Nico Collins, with Joe Mixon, with CJ Stroud, with the fact that you're probably going to fix the offensive line and you have some guys on the line that can play, that it should be a very sought after job. The Jets, on the other hand, if they do want to bring Rodgers back for his last season there, well, who wants to be an OC with a guy that's not going to listen and going to call his own stuff and going to, you know, do whatever he wants?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the hope would be that he does listen.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. The latest Texans interview is Grant Yedinsky. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure.
That's the Minnesota guy?
He's the currently the assistant offensive coordinator, assistant quarterbacks coach for the Minnesota Vikings. He's been there for a couple of years now. He was the assistant quarterbacks coach in 23. He was the assistant to the head coach back in 2022. So he actually had crossover with Gerard. Gerard was there for a year, too. Would have been on the same staff as Yedinsky. Now, I don't think this is a scenario where Gerard's the OC and then Yedinsky comes to work under him, because that would be a lateral move. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Yedinsky has a chance to be the offensive coordinator, but I also don't think he would be hired by the Texans. He's only 28, 29 years old, according to Wikipedia. So he's very, very young. I don't think he has a very, you know, high chance of being the next OC. Aaron Wilson reported that Chip Kelly is going to stay at Ohio State. He also reported that he thinks that Popovich is going to get promoted to offensive line coach, which I find that to be kind of
after
weird.
They let him.
Well, I think his contract ran out.
Oh, okay.
So his contract ran out. It should have to be a new deal, which is kind of weird to me, though, that they know he's going to be the offensive line coach, or at least that's the report. But it'd be weird if they already know that, but they don't have an OC already.
I was going to say, wouldn't that be up to the new OC to hire his new O-line coach, since we all know, going through what we did this last year with Bobby and the O-line and everything, that, hey, if you're in control of the offense, that's your job to hire, because that's your job to discipline and reprimand and fix when the season gets tough sometimes. It would seem to me, if that's the case and that's the direction that they're leaning, that Gerard would have a good chance for the game.
That was my read of it.
Yeah.
That was my read of it, too, is that you already have the offensive coordinator in-house with an offensive line coach that would work
under
him. I'll
Jeremy, the thing that worries me the most about that would be the fact that I would want an offensive-minded head coach if I was going to do that.
What do you mean?
Just with Gerard never calling plays before and never being an OC before, and then kind of saying so consistent with what didn't work a year ago. Because, yeah, maybe Popovich wasn't able to do some things because he was working, you know, he had a boss, so to speak, at his own position. But I would, again, my hang up. A guy that hasn't called plays before, I'm very concerned about putting him in this spot and then the expectations being as high as it is for this team.
Would you have concern if it was Sean McVay in his first year?
Sure, because I didn't know at that point I wouldn't have known what Sean McVay could do.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I was very critical of Brian Johnson yesterday, a bit harsh on the Texans requesting an interview with Brian Johnson. And look, I still absolutely do not want him. I still think it would be the worst thing in the world. I want him nowhere near this position. But there's actually some positive I take to this. I will give credit to the Houston Texans, and maybe this is me being a homer, but they are talking to a lot of people, and I give them credit talking to a lot of people. Like, they've brought in Jeff Nixon, who's been a longtime veteran around the, you know, football, both college and in the NFL, but mostly NFL. He's worked with a lot of really good coaches over the course of his career. Thad Lewis, another one who's gotten, you know, a long history in the NFL. Nick Caley, who they might ultimately hire, who was with the Patriots forever, worked with Josh McDaniels, and then most recently has worked with Sean McVay. He comes from an offense right now with the Rams where they're pretty good. Brian Johnson, again, disaster, but he's currently on the Washington staff. The Commanders were really really good. And yes, he wasn't great with Philadelphia as an OC, but was on a really good team. Grant Yudinski, Minnesota. I thought Kevin O'Connell was great this year, and I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the better offensive minds in the NFL. So while I don't want a lot of these guys, I wouldn't be happy with Nixon. I wouldn't be happy with Lewis. I wouldn't be happy with Brian Johnson. I'd be least happy with Brian Johnson. I do give the Texans credit for bringing in a lot of coaches from offenses that have been good and just hopefully getting a lot of information and a lot of intel.
Yeah, the intel to me is where we've talked about this with head coaching positions before. Like, even if you know that there are guys that you're not going to hire at the end of the day, you talk to as many guys that have innovative minds as you possibly can to kind of get more on your own squad and more, you know, whether it be creativity and the innovation that comes with certain people and the way that they think, to maybe maximizing the guys that you've had on your roster that maybe your last guy wasn't doing and thinking about, to where you can get as much information as you possibly can, because there's no limit. So you might as well, until you're hell-bent on, you know, or you feel like you might lose your guy, why not talk to as many people as you can? I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, I do too. So I'm not taking back what I said about Brian Johnson, but who cares if they interview him?
See, I'm with you on the fact that the Philly situation is the biggest worry to me. I mean, I'm glad he's had a lot of experience. I'm glad that he's worked with a lot of guys that are very innovative and, you know, cutting edge on today's NFL. But that last time that you had the same title and you had command of an offense, you didn't do very well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm out on him, but who cares if they interview him, right? The internal candidates, Gerard Johnson and then Bill Lazor.
The Lazor.
Which of the two, because you kind of like the old play caller, you know, somebody who's done it before. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more willing to go never done it before and just hire the best guy. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick between the two internal candidates, Gerard and Bill Lazor, who would you pick?
I'd probably take Gerard simply because he's probably working as close as he could. He worked closely with CJ, we know, but he probably worked closer than just about anybody with Bobby, so that he can learn, and having knowing the repercussions of some of the things Bobby did, that he can kind of take what the best of Bobby and also learn from the worst of Bobby.
Yeah.
I'd probably lean Gerard then.
You brought up Peterson with DJ. Yeah. It's interesting to me that he has... I mean, because if he doesn't want to be a head coach, I don't think he's ever going to coach again. See, I don't think he gets a head coaching job.
That's why I was shocked to hear DJ's response, because to me, when I think about it, I go, oh, it makes a lot of sense. Because if they're going to make him the scapegoat and him the blame for what went wrong in Jacksonville because they don't want to blame Trevor Lawrence, the easiest way to figure that out is, and maybe if that reputation is there for him, the easiest way to dispel that is go somewhere else, be an OC, have the kind of success you've had the majority of your career, and then you set the table for an easier route to get to that next head coaching job. Yeah. Don't sit out a year and then expect that people are going to come knocking on your door. More people are going to forget about you before that they're going to say, oh, you sat out a year, but you were with Jacksonville last. Yeah, you should be my OC, or you should be my head coach. And I would also think the chance that, hey, getting with a real quarterback – in a great situation in the same division where you could actually get revenge on the team that fired you while you kind of revitalize your name, makes a ton of sense.
See, I don't think he gets a head coaching job again.
I agree.
If he sits out. Like, I think it's going to require him being an offensive coordinator and being a good offensive coordinator to get back into the carousel. Kind of like Cliff Kingsbury. Like, when Cliff Kingsbury got fired from Arizona, I bet you not a lot of people thought he would be an NFL head coach again. Like,
most
go to the college,
another college.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, what did he do? He went to the Commanders with a rookie quarterback, had a great year, and was in the carousel this year. And it's like, eh, maybe next year. And it seemed to be more Cliff's thinking than NFL teams thinking. Like, maybe he could have gotten the New Orleans job if he really wanted the New Orleans job. Doug Peterson has to do the same thing. If he's going to be a head coach again in the NFL, he has to go somewhere to call plays and prove that the Jacksonville situation had nothing to do with him. It was Trent Baalke. It was the cons. It was a terrible situation. Because if he doesn't do that, we're going to associate Doug Peterson with the debacle that happened in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing that was just – that's why I was so surprised to hear what DJ said, because it makes so much sense to me that the easiest way – to be able to prove it was them, not me, is to go out and take an offensive coordinator job and prove that I still have total grasp of an offense in the NFL. And when given the right personnel, I can make things happen. Then I think that most people would buy right in going, hey, your reputation speaks for itself other than what happened in Jacksonville. And if you had success with another team as an offensive coordinator, good enough for me.
The current candidate list for the Texans isn't great if you want a guy who's called plays, especially in the NFL. Because if Chip Kelly did an interview, and Aaron Wilson's reporting he wants to stay at Ohio State, You're looking at the guys that they've either interviewed or have requested an interview with that we know. Gerard Johnson has never called plays in the NFL or anywhere. Bill Lazor, who has NFL experience, 5 in the NFL, 4 in college football. Jordan Punn put together this list, great list on Twitter. Jeff Nixon, who has 2 years as a play caller, a co-offense coordinator in college football. Thad Lewis, 0 years as a play caller. Nick Cayley, 0 years as a play caller. Brian Johnson has multiple years as a play caller in his career, 1 in the NFL, and then got fired by Philadelphia. And then Grant Yudinski, who has 0 years as a play caller. So 7 guys there that we know have interviewed with the Texans or have they have requested an interview with. Johnson, Lazor, Nixon, Lewis, Cayley, Brian Johnson, Yudinski. If you had to pick one of those guys, who are you picking?
The co-favorite that DJ said.
Kaylee?
Kaylee.
Nick, so you're on the Kaylee. Well, I mean, it deleted a lot of the guys that you wanted. It deleted Chip Kelly. It deleted Doug Peterson.
Right.
So it actually eliminated most of the guys.
It puts me in a tough
situation.
So at least I got a guy that's got that's got experience with coaches that have had a lot of success once they got OC and once they got to control offenses.
Does this list maybe tell us something different than what we thought about the quality of the job offering? Like maybe some of these guys end up being great play callers. Maybe they turn into the next Sean McVay. But if we're looking at this list, like, man, this list isn't that impressive. Is that an indictment on the attractiveness of the job?
No. I think it's an indictment on they already know who they want.
Okay.
Although the Nixon Lewis thing throws me for a circle.
Can I throw something at you with that? Because I was thinking about that when you said this. What if they believed that their guy and the reason why they made this move was Chip Kelly, and then he changed his mind.
And now they're scrambling?
Yeah.
It's not impossible.
Because I don't know, and also because of, we've seen guys change their mind or be in a situation, obviously it's very rare, the what happened with between Cohen and the Bucks and the Jags, but at the same time, if they were, D'Amico knows Kelly, and there was a relationship, and that was the guy that they targeted, and they figured, hey, Ohio State overspent this year. There's a pretty good chance he's going to have to take a pay cut or whatever. And we hear there's a desire to get back in the league. Let's go get him. And now all of a sudden, after doing your due diligence with other guys and setting the table so you can go get him, he changes his mind. And it's like, now what do we do?
Yeah, I think it's plausible. I would put it at like 10%, but in play. Mm-hmm. In play. I would be also disappointed in D'Amico a bit. Because if you're going to do that and you're like, oh, it's going to be Chip, you better be 100% sure.
Well, it's also something we're never going to probably know because he doesn't want it out there so that it is firmly on him. Like, you didn't button it up when you knew that was the guy you wanted.
And they're pretty tight-lipped there now. Casario, I think, and D'Amico are pretty tight-lipped. Mm-hmm. I want Kaylee, too. I'd be happy with 2 of the guys. It would be Kaylee and Gerard. I would be unhappy if it's Lazor, Nixon, Lewis. Yudinski's just so young, like 29 years old. And then Brian Johnson, dead last for me.
So
I'd be good with Kaylee and Gerard.
Aside from Kelly and from Peterson, I know I keep bringing it up, but it's also where, because there's a relationship there, and I don't know how great it is or not, but and also because you can get intel, I'm just curious why LaFleur hasn't interviewed.
Yeah.
Because, he was a hot name coming up. His brother's had a lot of success. He's had experience with your head coach. To where he's coached under both systems. I would just think that there's a guy that I certainly want to at least have a conversation with. I don't have to hire him.
Maybe it's the worst kept secret that the Texans already know who they want. Because, none of these guys are OCs.
So you're saying that's why he wouldn't interview?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or like a Doug Peterson.
But wouldn't that
interview.
Come out public that he declined the interview?
Well, he never got requested.
I'm saying.
So it could also be like a Texan thing. Like, they're not going to interview dudes who could legitimately be the offensive coordinator. Instead, they're going to interview guys that, kind of gets them back in the cycle, gets their name out there a bit.
My counter to that would be
young coordinators.
If you had a relationship with LaFleur, wouldn't that also be doing him a solid? I interviewed him, which means I'm interested in him, which means other teams should take note.
But it also
kind of
makes. Maybe
they don't want to be disrespectful to him.
It also kind of makes you look bad, though. Like, if you, let's say in this hypothetical situation, you've already decided pre-process that it's Gerard Johnson. And then you go out and hire sexier big names, and you turn them down. It might make the shamness of the operation look even more apparent.
I think they already know it's either Gerard or Kaylee. Because I was on Gerard early, then those 2 Rooney Rule interviews threw me for a loop, and I was on Chip Kelly for a day, and then I was on Kaylee. And if Kelly's out of it, I think it's Jurado or it's Kaylee. I think they already know.
Seems likely.
I think they would already know that before even firing Slowick. Because they have a relationship with Kaylee. Kaylee and Kasari went to the same school. They went to the same university. They worked together in New England. They interviewed him for the offensive coordinator job last year. So like, or 2 years ago. So they know him. They already know. And, of course, they know Jurado.
Yeah, so Kaylee and Jurado are two guys they could already basically have the conversations with in advance and make the decision.
I think that they knew the moment they fired Slowick and before they fired Slowick that it was either Jurado or Kaylee. And I'll throw in the 10% chance that they were hoping Chip Kelly would maybe try the NFL out again. I'll throw that out there as well. Aaron in Mid-County, D'Amico needs a guy with experience to help him. I'm sure of everybody. And then he says hire Gruden to be the OC. He's too good at Barstool to hire him away.
He really is. But yeah, there's people. I saw people throwing it out there again. Why isn't he getting interviews?
Yeah, no one's interviewing him.
Because of emails?
No one's interviewing him. All right, Blankers had a situation with the SWAT. Why was the SWAT team after Blankers? And also, Cron.com, they never cease to annoy me. That's next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
The Blankers almost got swatted, a SWAT team the other day. What happened here?
Unbelievable, and I think it was either you were on the road or it was towards the end of the week, but for some reason, there was rain or something in the morning. So when I got back home, I went to the gym, got back home, and I'm like, well, I'll take the dogs for a walk now. I normally walk before the sun comes up. And I'm walking down the street, and of course, I've got the five big dogs with me. And there's a lady that's just like slow rolling me with the window down. And I'm just like, hi. Yeah, they're five dogs. Because normally the people are just intrigued by the dogs. She goes, well, how are the dogs with sirens? Well, why would you ask that? She goes, because you got SWAT team up ahead, so be careful. And I'm like, huh?
This was like a random civilian?
It's just random in a minivan. So I'm like, okay, no big worry. I'm not going to even worry about this. So I keep walking up the block. And as I kind of get closer to an upcoming intersection, I'm like, oh, good Lord. She wasn't kidding. There's like 15 different squad cars from different agencies, all kind of half circled in this intersection. I'm like, well, good God. So as I get closer, some of the cops who have full vests on and everything, and guns drawn, by the way, come over and go, oh, look at the cute dogs. They start petting the dogs. And I go, am I good to keep going forward right here? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you should be fine. Should be fine. Okay. So I'm like, well, I'll trust it for the time.
So did you go forward?
So I went forward. So as I get to the intersection, I look to the right as it goes into a neighborhood, and like there's full-blown SWAT team in their fatigues with their helmets on and their vests and their long guns drawn, and they're all kind of huddled. And then down the block a little bit, they got a house kind of surrounded. And I'm going, okay, now it's getting a little dicey. So I cross the intersection, and as I get past it, I think I'm done with it. Well, about 30 feet in front of me, there's a tree. And all of a sudden, popping out from behind the tree, here comes one of the police officers who was hiding behind the tree. He's got a long gun out. And I go, okay, can you tell me anything? He goes, nope. I go, am I good to keep going? He goes, yeah, go ahead. I'm going, why are we so casually telling me to go ahead when everybody's guns are drawn? So I go another like half block up, and now I look up. There's a helicopter overhead. One of the police helicopters.
The ghetto birds were out?
Yeah, there's squad cars driving around the neighborhood. However, they're letting traffic through on that intersection. And I go, this should not be. If this was too serious, they wouldn't let traffic through.
Maybe they don't know where he is?
I will eventually figure that out, right? I will figure out what it was. I'll tell you. But I get about to another half block up, and here comes one of the squad cars, and it stops, and the guy's like on his computer and whatever, and I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to ask him what's going on. So otherwise, I'm going to head back to the house because it seems like it's getting more intense. The minute I go to start taking two steps for him, he gives me the full-blown wave off intensely as he can, like, get the hell out of here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going home. So I turn around, and I start heading back to the house. Well, now the one cop that was behind the tree, it's two. And both cops had their guns out. And now I'm going, okay, I don't know if I should even go back to this intersection, but I don't have an out because there's a lake on my right and there's no other side streets. So I like pick up the pace. There are neighbors that are like peering over their fence to like get a look at what's going on without being too close to the situation. And I finally hightail it back to the house and I call Lisa. She's at the station and I go, hey, can you get on the scanner or find your people out in this area? This is what I've seen. This is what's going on. She goes, I'll call you right back. She goes, oh my God, no one here knew about it. She goes, good call. She goes, evidently there's a guy that had several warrants out for him and they went to serve the warrants and he basically barricaded himself in the house and they weren't sure what his threats were and what he might do. So they just took nothing for granted and they just went full blown SWAT mode. And I'm like, so I'm calling my neighbor who lives right by there. And I go, hey, go up in your upstairs window, not too close.
I thought you were about to say my neighbor that lives right next to me.
No, I said, go back. I said, go out your bedroom window on the back of the house and just see what's going on and keep me posted. And he calls me back. He goes, holy bleep. What? I go, hey, man, if you didn't know, I'm glad I told you. And he calls me back about 5 minutes later. And he's like, seems to be dying down, I think. They got to the bottom of it. And evidently, the guy finally just decided, I'm giving myself up. But like for a while there, I'm going, I just literally to see SWAT guys with their full-blown long guns out. It's a little bit unnerving.
So did the guy live there?
Yeah, evidently.
Do you know what the warrants were for?
I did not know what the warrants were for. But then my neighbor, I was telling him what happened. And he's got a kid that goes to school with evidently the guy's kid. They used to live next door to this guy. Huh. And they said that the guy would be like normal 1 minute. And the next minute he was so like worrisome and intimidating to the neighbors that they moved.
Really?
I'm like, well, that's good to know. And he's in the hood. Great.
Huh?
Yeah. So that was a crazy situation. Cause I'm like, then Lisa was going to send the news team out. I say, well, if that's all it was, then I don't think that's that big of a story, but at least we were able to get access to what the hell was going on. Cause I was freaking out. Like, is someone going to blow a house up or what's going on?
That is scary. I would like to know what he did, what the warrants were for.
Yeah. Cause I mean, not to get into like police procedure, but you see a lot of stories about the overuse of SWAT teams. So especially when it's,
where do we see this stuff?
I mean, I've seen it. I've seen
where
it.
Do you
I've
see
seen
this?
News reports, documentaries. Really? Last week tonight with John Oliver.
When the SWAT team's involved, it becomes like next level serious, right?
Well, I mean, yes, I feel like they should. They like that's what their job.
Yeah,
I know. But the idea is, there's a lot of times where they escalate when it's not necessary, and kind of what you described. If it's one guy for a war, unless he was threatening with a gun, it feels like an unnecessary use. I don't know. I could be wrong, but feels unnecessary.
Yeah, I was like, man, I've never been through something like this. Like, now I know people in like tough situations in different countries feel like. You're walking down the street and all of a sudden here's guys with these massive guns and stuff out. I'm going, good God, that's a bit unnerving.
Whenever I went to the cruise over the summer, we went to Mexico. Like, that's what you see all over the place.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're just walking down the streets with those big old guns.
Casually?
Oh, yeah.
So I had posted in, like, our Facebook for our specific neighborhood, like, hey, just be careful. This is going on. If you're going out of the house, don't take a left because you're going to go right into the middle of it. And then someone had commented, the funniest part of all of this is these guys are supposed to be experts in their field, but evidently either one of the SWAT guys or one of the guys was off duty and he came to help and he locked his keys in the car with it running right in the like the driveway next door to the house.
Are you on the Nextdoor app?
No.
Is that where you told everybody?
No. We've got Facebook page for our neighborhood.
I got you. All right. 713-780-ESPN. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird deal. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. Also, the whole Bregman deal. How many people in Houston want Bregman back, actually? Car wreck of the day, 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Got to tell you about Pro Dunk Hoops. Best basketball goal on the planet. Don't waste your time at the big box stores. You already know that. If you're going to get a goal, do it right and get it with ProDunk. Go online, ProDunk.com. Get it right now. The best basketball goals on the planet. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rims, stainless steel hardware. It's rust-proof, height-adjustable. Why do I need that? Well, if you want to throw down some jams and have some fun, you're going to want that height adjustability. Anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet in a matter of seconds with their new goal, Thor. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. It's easy to do. Their accessories, top-notch. They're elite. They're the best in the business. Look, it gets dark early. It's almost dark right now. You're at work. Kids are at school. The only time you have to play is once the sun goes down. We get it. Well, that's why ProDunk has LED light kits. That way you can play at night when the sun goes down. Backstop nets. Don't chase the basketball around. Air ball shots, all that stuff. You don't have to chase the ball around with the backstop nets. Pull pad lettering. Customize it to whatever you want to say and lots more. You can order all of that, and you can order installation as well. You can order the pros to professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly level. You don't have to mess with anything. You don't want to mess with the ladder. You don't want to mess with the level. You don't want to mess with the drill. I get it. You don't want the big box delivered to your driveway with a million pieces that you have to put together. It's daunting. It's no fun. You don't want to do it. You're going to screw it up. Well, let the pros at ProDunk do that work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822. Get that goal at your house, in your driveway. You're going to love it. If you have kids, they're going to love it. Your wife's going to love it. 281-351-9822 or visit them online, ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD. 97.9 HD2.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick! Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wreck of the day, 713-780-ESPN. Some gamers call in SWAT teams on other players they don't like. It's called swatting, says a texter. That's weird.
It's very weird.
This gaming gotten too serious. Another texter, love the stories, Blankers. Not going to lie, I would have done everything the same that you did. Honestly, I would have booked it a little before you. I'm Hispanic. I don't play with that bad word, LOL.
And I'm Mexica.
What does that have to do with anything? They're scared of, like, profiling or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I guess you saw it in another country, but, like, I didn't expect in my neighborhood to see.
No.
And maybe even a handgun, but, like, the big guns are out. I'm like, jeez. And, like, the helmets and the SWAT team's, like, fully geared out. Anything short of that robot thing that goes in ahead of them was out there.
Yeah, that would have spooked me too. Not gonna lie. Before we get to car wreck of the day, the polls are in. 58% of Houston wants Alex Bregman back, which
lower than I thought.
42%.
You were very close on your 60-40 though.
I know my followers. I know my people. I am one. I am just the figurehead of you all. Are you surprised by that number? 58-42 split.
I thought it'd be higher. Yeah, I definitely think. I just thought that there's just still give Astros fans just the slimmest glimmer of hope that he could be back. And people just, I thought, were losing their mind that they were going to hold their breath that he's coming back.
It must be, as you pointed out, I think when you first posed the question, it must be the fatigue of the story. Because it's been a question for, actually going back even further than when the offseason began in November. I mean, it's been the question all of last year, would Bregman come back? So people are probably just tired of it.
Probably. All right, car wreck of the day, 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blinker?
I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one or not, but I have Tari Eason on the list for yet another late game.
You just made the list!
Last night, where I just think when you're thinking about like clutch situations and stuff, he fouls a lot of three-point shooters. He does a lot of things where credit to him for like getting to the basket for an offensive rebound, but like tipping it when it's still in the cylinder, I was just like, no, just don't even touch it then. Yeah. It might even go in.
I don't think it would have went in, but yeah, I he does make some boneheaded decisions every now and then. Cam Whitmore was not good yesterday.
No,
he was benched,
not.
By the way. You see, he may bench him.
Yeah, and his body language is still not right.
And Jayshon Tate, I don't need you taking fadeaway jumpers from the free throw line with 18 seconds on the shot clock. Mm-hmm. I thought they were both bad in that game. I got to nominate you, though, Blankers, okay, for car wreck of the day. Yesterday, you said that Alex Bregman on Instagram posted, I would rather die than play for another country.
I tried to get it right.
You got God. This was originated by Captain Underpants or @BlueJaysFunk on Twitter, who is a parody account.
Oh, wait a minute now.
It's parody account.
Okay, wait a minute, because I saw I don't follow those people, and I saw it on Instagram, and it came up Abreg One.
Yeah, but there's you can Photoshop things.
Yeah. Okay. I think you got God. Unless that's legit, maybe I got God getting.
I mean,
you
I went
got.
Through his Instagram when that came up, and it wasn't there.
Yeah,
so. It was nothing but training videos and a post for his wedding anniversary.
But it was in the video feed that goes up on the top. It wasn't like from his account.
Well, if it wasn't from his account,
no. So let me show you what I mean.
Well, go to his account.
Yeah, it's from like the real. It's from the stories. You're talking about from the stories.
Yeah.
But was it his account or not?
Well, how do I find what stories he's posted?
Well, they were only 24 hours, so it'd be gone now.
Yeah, so it'd be gone. That's where I saw it.
Okay. I don't know.
You guys like to try and get me anyway. That's fine. I'll own it if I was God.
Captain Underpants put that on Twitter. Maybe it was real. Maybe it was real. What do you got, Brian?
DJ trying to blame me for his phone not working.
Man's got
two phones, and he's never called me on my cell phone once in his entire life in our working relationship. He's had to call into the station instead of me calling him because his phone is apparently bootleg, and it doesn't work when I try to call him. So for the last 2 months, he's called into the caller line. He said calls me this time and puts the blame on me.
He did. He blasted you too.
DJ is the car wreck of the day.
Me neither. You don't hear bootleg that much anymore.
I thought it was appropriate in this instance.
When was the last time you heard bootleg? I haven't heard bootleg in forever.
Probably for like a movie that's...
Or like CDs and things like that on the street. He was selling bootleg CDs.
I know. I know what it means.
I know what it means.
That's the last time I heard it used. Movie or something.
Yeah.
Hey, I was in New York over the weekend, and I had guys on every corner trying to sell me some bootleg CDs.
Yeah. What's coming up next, Brian? Today?
Well, nothing tonight, but today. Big show's tomorrow.
There's nothing coming up next. Dead air.
Yeah, dead air until the bullpen tomorrow, 12 to 2, and then the Hall of Fame, their ESPN national version, right after the Royal Rumble tomorrow night on these very airwaves.
We never do tomorrow. We never do forward programming like that. Brian went ahead and put bullpen tomorrow from 12 to 2.
Bullpen, greater sign, show? ESPN national.
Is that more than normal? Don't normally go 4 hours.
No, I said 12. It says 12 to 2.
Car wreck of the day, Branham. Bad math. All right, what's
math
winning?
Major.
What's winning here? I think DJ should win.
DJ.
Okay, that's cool.
He's got two phones. He had phone issues, and then he calls Brian something he's never done before and then blast him. DJ Bieniemy is the car wreck of the day.
I'll go with that.
In fact, because of that, we might not ever have him on again because of that. So he wins. That does it for us. He's Brian. Thank you for the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.